Hello and welcome to another Cage Club Revisited. This is episode 35, Left Behind from 2014. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. This is our special Thanksgiving movie.
This episode is meant to be listened to while you watch the movie. We are watching it on DVD today, and boy, oh boy, are there bonus features. Yes. We will talk about that when we play the movie. If you want to hear our actual thoughtful podcast episode, listen to number 75 featuring Tobin Addington, co-host of the Contenders Podcast. But Mike, let's play it.
Away.
Did you add the subtitles and set up?
Go. There was no time. I'm going to have to do it on the fly.
All right. Here we go. Left Behind. So.
Oh, there are subtitles.
On the DVD, there's special features and there's bonus features. And special features are like cast and crew interviews, the author reflections.
Yes.
Which are the two Christian men, I'm presuming, who wrote the entire 50-book series. You know, there's like a ton of books,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some have been adapted into Kirk Cameron movies.
And then we looked at the bonus features, and there are other movies you should check out. And then there are Imagine videos. We're like, what are these? And they are short films.
Basically, minute long.
Imagine if you were a sinner and the rapture happened. Like, you were a teacher and all of your kids vanished.
Or you were a victim
of a home invasion and a burglar was breaking in and the 911 dispatcher. Got raptured
in the middle of your call.
So, Mike, don't sin.
That was amazing. Those were hidden gems. I'm definitely going to rewatch those later on.
This is JFK?
That said it's JFK. I doubt they filmed in JFK.
We're going to do the here. There you go.
Okay.
Go to cageclub.me/games. Download your Cage Club bingo card.
Oh, isn't Leah Thompson in this now that I'm remembering? Oh, boy.
Yes, she is. This is, more importantly, the first of three films that Nicolas Cage will do with Nikki Whelan
in the span of
4 years.
Inconceivable, right?
She does this, she's in Dog Eat Dog, and she's in Inconceivable.
Wow.
So, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Oh, I love this card. Another movie plays in this movie. That's hilarious. You know, I was just remarking in the last episode how I barely know any of the names of Cage's characters, and this is Cage has multiple character names. Remember that? I remember. A lot of his characters have two names.
This movie...
Airport.
Yeah, 100%. This movie is one that I've seen now. This is the third time I'm seeing it. I saw this in theaters.
Unbelievable.
In Austin, Texas, by myself. I think I might have been the only person in the theater, which would make sense.
Okay.
Austin, a godless town.
Representing,
though. That
much. Well, yeah. That's why they're there. That's a great photo.
That is bad CGI, if you have it. I don't. Shit, it was on the last card. I don't have it on this one. Someone returns from another cage film across it off because Nikki Whelan. This is her first time,
but she'll
time
be back.
Is a flat circle. Oh, he does have a fancy car. I don't remember if it's a red sports car or not, but it might be.
No, but we see it in
Cage
the parking
driving
lot.
Him across because we're going to see that very soon. So here's the thing. Remember when we did a couple movies ago, we did Cage on a horse, and I said, is he driving that horse?
Right, right. He's not driving a plane. No, you fly a plane. You don't drive one.
Damn it. Oh, I'm sorry to curse. This is a holy podcast.
Oh, God damn, you're forgiven. I'm sorry, listeners, if we're blasphemous too much, but I just am...
You're a godless man.
I'm just an atheist.
This is... It's...
That's right.
What's weird about... I haven't seen a lot of them, but what's weird about Christian movies is that they almost feel like parodies of Christian movies.
Yes,
like she is so,
thank you.
She is so...
They're very self-righteous. And,
self-righteous.
And it's... But that's...
But she's in the right here. But from an objective movie viewer, this woman with the brown hair is
evil.
An animal,
is
like a monster.
It's like a bad person, yeah. Like, her manners are terrible. So and her face looks like she's just mad all the time. Anyway,
as we found out, this movie is taking place in... JFK.
Oh, this isn't Cage in a car.
This is Nikki Whelan, baby.
There we go. Just putting on some lip gloss.
Oh, I do love the...
Because she's a sinner.
...smooth jazz sax music.
That's right. That's how you know she sins.
We were talking also at lunch
about... Here's Cage's car.
Damn, it's not a red sports car. It's just a black sports
driving.
Car. We were talking in lunch about how cool it was. It was the last episode. And we were like, the way that we realized that Cage Club and just sort of podcasting in general was something that a lot of people would, taking his ring off.
Oh, and he's married to Leah Thompson. How could you do that?
But, because Nikki Whelan's Nikki
Whelan.
No,
I mean, I know, but seriously.
Also, he's a sinner.
Is that, looks like a room-style green screen shot on a roof.
Oh, it's terrible. And also amazing. This movie, so let me actually finish the story. So we're saying that, like, you know, Tobin Addington, our friend, our former professor, who now co-hosts The Contenders, signed up to do a bunch of movies, and this was one that he wanted to do, which was bananas to us. But it was a good episode, it was a fun episode. I remember being very baffled and very animated on this episode. This movie, I think I also talked about on that episode, reminds me of The Langoliers.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, because something bad happens on an airplane and stuff. Yeah, a couple Twilight Zone vibes from this, too, for me. But yeah, Langoliers is insane. What could we do so we could watch the Bronson Pinchot podcast?
Yes.
I mean, Stephen King, if we did all the Stephen King media adaptations, like everything.
If you never want it to end.
Everything they. Well, I mean, that's what we're trying to do. It's more it's shows that don't end.
I'm sure there is already a King. Well, we are going to have, of a sort, a King cast, but it's a different King.
Oh.
But yeah, I guess we could do a King cast. We could also, what I was thinking originally, The Langoliers is burned into my brain because it's one of the two VHS movies. You could do a two VHS with, like, Titanic, Sound of Music.
That's a double. Oh, because it was a TV movie or something.
It was really long.
And then you could do Scarface, Godfather 3, or all the Godfathers, multiple tapes.
Or we could just talk about it on a show. I don't, you know, it's...
No, I know. I'm coming to realize we don't have to record everything we say.
Cage wears a hat. He's got this pilot hat on for sure.
Oh, where was that last episode?
I don't know.
I have a feeling this is just going to cut to Las Vegas at one point, just because of the sinning.
Oh, I'm also going to cross off accentuating an oddly specific word because that religious lady
adaptation.
Was...
Adaptation.
Well, that's a good one. I have Twin Peaks connection and X-Files connection.
Oof. We might have to combine those.
No, I like that they're... Yeah, we could. The question is, if we combine them...
What do we gotta replace
them? It's an automatic win. I mean, it's like an automatic checkbox, but I kind of like that they're different, and also, you know... Oh, Nikki Whelan wearing Cage's hat.
Did you steal my hat? Stealing is a sin. See how he's... I didn't notice his daughter.
I like that he... sees her in a crowded airport, immediately
picks her out.
Happy birthday, Cage. Happy Thanksgiving, ladies.
Oh, wow, it's his birthday in the movie. I wonder how many times that's happened. Wow, imagine the rapture on your birthday and getting left behind. That's a tough birthday, folks.
Brutal. That's why you don't sin.
Well, it's a good thing God doesn't exist, so he can never rapture us. So, you know, don't have to worry about that. Phew.
I'm trying to stay neutral down the middle of the path here. So what if, oh man, what if the rapture happened while we did this episode?
Oh, that would be amazing.
And I go up to heaven and you stay here.
Oh, well, I mean, you're not going anywhere, pal.
if one of us was going to get raptured, it would be me.
Why would it be you?
I went to church for 18 years.
I've went to church as a kid and up through my child. I was confirmed. I've been confirmed. I'm baptized. I mean... Mm-hmm. I'm covered.
You also literally just said God doesn't exist, which I think negates.
Well, no, it doesn't negate
all
would,
of that.
He would agree with that.
He would be like, H?
He'd be like, "That's why I created you to think for yourself, to say I don't exist." If you want, fine. He wouldn't care. And by he, I mean, you know, Satan, the Dark Lord and Master.
Is this girl really pretty, or is she just Christian movie pretty?
Joey, that is an insensitive question to be asking.
I think that's also...
You're not being raptured at all. Asking a question like that. No, she's very pretty. I mean, what is Christian movie pretty? Like, Nikki's in this movie.
It's true.
Oh, Nikki, Cage's name in the last movie we watched, which was Snake Eyes.
No, it was Rick.
Oh, Ricky.
Rick Santoro.
Damn it. See, I can't remember names.
This girl was in 19 episodes of Switched at Birth, which is a show that my sister watched, I think.
Switched at Birth? Oh, wasn't Leah Thompson in that, too?
Big Love. Switched at Birth? No. Yes!
Yeah, weird. There we go.
Also, Lucas Grabeel, a.k.a. Ryan, from High School Musical. What a weird confluence of weird things.
They're having a very long conversation here.
Well, you know, Mike, when you're 6 minutes into a movie, you gotta have a long dialogue scene between father and daughter.
I'm just waiting for the next person to come up and, like, try and sell them a Bible or something.
You know what I would love? I wonder if it exists. if there's a Christian movie that's like a real movie, you know what I mean? But then at the end, they just have like the actor come out and be like, let me talk to you about Jesus. Because like, you could see this in like, very clearly.
Like Johnny Dangerously talks to kids about smoking?
Yes. Or what's the movie that we watched recently where the last thing that they say is, hey kids.
Oh, Teen Titans Go to the Movies, where he's like, ask your parents where babies come from.
Which is one of those where just like, let me talk to you about Jesus. And you're like, what did I just watch?
Weird is like, I think, I might be wrong about this, but I used to watch a lot of Gumby as a kid. And the people who created Gumby were like very heavy, like Christian people. Like they did David and Goliath as well, which was another stop motion animated children's programming thing. But I never got any of those overtones in Gumby per se, except for like, you know, don't lie, cheat and steal kind of. They never really, you know, they had their other show for that, it feels so.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear what you're saying. Like at the end of the movie, you find out like all along, like, oh no, we've been had. Gate 3. It should have been Terminal 666.
The number of the beast. We were just talking about Iron Maiden phenomena.
And how cool the beast is. When I think of the beast, I think of two things now. I think of Split, where McAvoy transforms into the beast. And then I think of What We Do in the Shadows, when Jermaine Clement's vampire dated the beast.
TV show is going to come out soon-ish, I think. Which
so there's a show in New Zealand about the cops that come to the house.
Huh.
They got their own show where they're like supernatural, like every stop is like a supernatural thing. Yeah, so I don't know. I haven't been able to find it anywhere online, but I saw the trailer.
Have we talked about the episode of The X-Files called X-Cops?
No,
it was
an
X-Files
so.
Cops crossover.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
It's so good.
It's hilarious. Man, Cops just fucking pierced the popular culture when it happened. I have a couple VHS tapes of Cops down in my basement because my brother bought them when they first came out. It's like, what are you doing? We could just like turn on three channels right now and watch some Cops.
Well, now it's all about Live PD, which is the evolution of Cops.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, I don't watch all that.
Oh, Joe Chu loves it. Melissa loves it.
Everybody that I talk to the most
loves Live PD.
I don't understand.
There is a weird intoxicating quality to it, but I can't just passively watch things because I feel like there's so much stuff that I want to actively watch. And I also realize that, you know, if I passively watch more, maybe I would be, not that I'm not calm, but like I would be, you know, if I have to focus on less things.
I mean, right, like the Cops don't have like the best PR right now. So like I don't really feel like watching a bunch of cops bust people like, you know, for doing hardly anything.
Twin Peaks Connection, drinking coffee.
Oh, God.
The Cops also look like Twin Peaks, which is why I thought of it. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like this very mountainous, some damn fine coffee.
I guess coffee and pie we can give it to, but
a lot of these are open to interpretation. I don't think I'm going to win. There's a lot of things I just straight up do not think are going to happen here.
Nothing on this card, yeah.
If Cage eats and stands on something weird, I'll win. But I don't know if he's going to have time to eat in the rapture.
He might. There's food on the plane. Maybe they eat that. What is he talking about?
I do like that of all the movies that we've watched this podcast, this is the one we paid the most attention to.
I'm trying to follow it. Burn the whole village. What does that mean?
I don't know.
You might have to... of course, you're going to have to ignore a lot of things to find what you're looking for, including the truth. Sounds very topical.
Do you think when you're cast in a Christian movie, you have to, like, pass a test?
Do you think Cage passed the test?
I don't know.
I don't think
so. That was my follow-up question.
I think these are, like, Christian... A lot of these are, like, players that they have. Like, Scorsese has his cast of actors. I bet they have, like, a bunch of these people probably show up in the same movie.
But I'm also sure...
different movies together.
I would imagine the PR machine of the Christian world would want to hire people outside of their circle to get some kind of cross. Like, the reason
Cage
we both
is in this,
bought this
yeah.
movie that I paid, or I didn't pay, but I, you know, movie passed a ticket to see this in theaters is because Nicolas Cage. If Nicolas Cage was not in this movie,
they're reeling us in with Cage, yeah.
It's a real bait and switch, but it's not really a bait and switch because we knew exactly what we're getting into. You know,
and not only that, though, but it's also, it's Left Behind. Like, it's the Rapture. Like, it's the most famous story they have to tell, I feel, aside from, like, The Second Coming, maybe? I mean, that would be interesting. Cage is Jesus coming back from the dead. But, yeah, like, they know that this is, out of everything, they're sort of, like, most popular story, so they're going to want to try and cross it over. I mean, like you said, it was in theaters. Like, how many movies, how many, like, Christian-based movies get to theaters that aren't Fathom events?
Like, that's... Shout out sponsor, Fathom Events.
Because when you just can't make it to the opera, or jonesing for that anime, Fathom Events.
Basically, I mean, it's like, do you want to watch Akira or Phantom of the Opera? Well, we got you covered on both fronts.
It's like, we got Miyazaki over here, and then we got, Carmen over here. Two weeks. Every time I hear 2 weeks, I just think of Total Recall.
What did... Total Recall just came up...
2 weeks.
Would it come up on Hackerling when we were talking about dream sequences? No.
I don't think... Oh, Verhoeven? We're thinking about doing Verhoeven.
We are thinking about doing Verhoeven. Have you seen the movie L, his most recent movie? With,
no.
What's her name?
The Breaking and Entering?
It's real aggressive.
I don't like B&E movies. They're my least favorite horror, whatever.
Yeah, but what about Trespass? Trespass is great.
That's different, dude. Come on. I didn't say I don't like some of them. I'm just saying it's my least favorite, like, type of movie. Like, I've seen Funny Games. I didn't enjoy that at all. Like, I saw Last House on the Left.
It's more than
I didn't
that, though.
Enjoy
it's not really a
break-in
movie. It's more of a...
There's some old
it's
ones like
more of like a rape movie.
Don't Look Now. Oh, I really don't want to see that.
It's really good though. It's what's her name from? She's going to be in a movie with Cage. She's a fantastic French actress.
Yeah, the redhead.
Yeah, what's her name? Could look it up. David Erb loves her.
Is his name Chris Smith?
Who?
The co-pilot.
I don't know because his name is Rayford Steele.
Rayford Steele. Ray Steele.
Isabel Huppert.
Is it S-T-E-A-L?
Or S-T-E-E-L-E.
Oh, they really messed up there because stealing is a crime and a sin.
Isabel Huppert.
Isabel Huppert.
She was supposed to be in a movie with Cage. I don't know whatever happened to it.
You know who I liked, who I thought was going to be huge after it came out, that the lead from Tony Erwid? Is that the name of that movie?
Tony Erdman.
Erdman, yeah. Like,
yeah, they're going to remake that, right?
Yeah, whatever. Let him do it. But I thought the actress in that movie was great. I was like, oh, after this movie, like, she's going to be... Someone is going to come bring her to, like, America, and she's going to, like, be one of those franchise players now. And I'm surprised that didn't happen immediately.
Wait, Isabel Huppert was not in Siberia?
I didn't say she was.
No. That's the movie she was supposed to be in. Maybe she dropped out.
Oh, the Cage movie, Siberia.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So that'll be the first time that two actors we've done will have had the same title for a movie.
Oh, wait, no. Siberia's not out yet.
No, but it's coming out. It'll be out one day. And Keanu's movie, Siberia.
Yes.
Oh, look. Someone got raptured early. There's an empty seat on the plane. It's a good thing that guy's not on Southwest. They'd probably kick him off or charge him an extra seat.
Nicolas Cage, Siberia, in development. Nicolas Cage, Willem Dafoe, Abel Ferreira.
Ooh,
that's it.
That's all I need to know. Don't read any more anyway.
But Isabel Huppert's not even listed on IMDb, so I don't know.
Oh, man, it's nice to have their... Like, we know we got a Muslim on plane. We got the guy, you know, we got representation
here.
We have
an angry little person.
Oh, I know. Hey, it was a toadstool... I know.
That
I'm
character
old.
Forever ruined.
We don't even have to.
Just like Ruxin from the League. Forever unclean. Like
forever unclean.
Toad is just forever unclean. Thanks, Stormy Daniels. Ruined my favorite Mario Kart racer forever.
Was it really?
I love Toad.
Hey!
Here we go.
He's really good in Mario 2 as well. He's super strong.
Well, there's also Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, which
oh,
is...
Oh, I haven't played that. It's good.
It's a Wii U game. It's...
He's like a puzzler, right?
Cool, yeah. Rayford Steele. Is this a Cage voiceover, would you say?
Well, I mean, it's the captain's voiceover, so yeah. I have that too.
Jackpot.
Somewhere.
Oh, that's why you gave me credit for it, because you have it.
Wait, did you win?
No.
Oh, okay.
Extreme facial expression. That guy just sneered at her.
I know the titular line is coming. I'm going to half fill
Do
it
Do they
in.
Say it?
Yeah, they're going to be, look, some of us got left behind.
Do you think?
They're not going to turn to the camera and say, we've been left behind. Not like Cage
Wait,
did with Snake
guy?
Eyes. Oh, yeah. He's very familiar, this dude. I feel like he plays a tycoon in lots of stuff.
An oil tycoon?
Look at this guy. He's like, get off the phone, buddy. Remember
well,
before airplane mode?
Well, I'm an oilman.
So, this movie came out when
the
iPhone
Oh, right. Jordan
out.
Sparks, former American Idol contestant, is in this movie. Oh, his name is Gary Grubbs.
Wait, was he in...
X-Files Connection. He played... His thing's most known for is he's in the X-Files movie. Apparently.
All right.
What has he been in that we've talked about, potentially? Oh, he was in USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage.
All right. That's a returning Cage... that's Cage coming
Sure
back.
Is, but also Nikki Whelan crossed that off. He was in Parkland, which we'd covered from Zack Attack. You were on that. He was in Django. He was in Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Okay, that might be where I recognized him. Oh, I thought she was on the plane the whole movie. I forgot that she got left behind at home.
You left that fact behind in your brain.
Remember... brother's baseball glove and everything. Oh, they look related. Wow, they did a good job casting with these two. Oh, don't put your dirty gloves on the Holy Bible. Even a blasphemous like me knows that.
But she's going to get raptured.
No. Oh, yeah, she does.
The mom goes.
It doesn't matter, huh?
Oh, that guy was also in an episode of The X-Files, too. So he's in an episode of The X-Files and also the movie.
But I feel like I know him from something
he's
bigger.
He's in JFK.
Back into the left. The hyperjet will change everything?
I'm just trying to see what he's been in and if we've talked about anything.
He mentioned the Defense Department. Can I click off war?
Well, it is a war on humanity, war on Christianity, so I'm going to say I'll give you credit for it.
Hey, second movie, Joey gets all loose and liberal with the bingo.
I feel like I win... For whatever reason,
all the
far
time.
More often than you do, I sort of feel bad.
I don't think Cage is going to smoke or do drugs. Oh, he was surprised, all right.
So there's Cage drinks alcohol, Cage eating... Cage smokes
Dude,
or does
there's
drugs.
So much stuff.
Cage has a visible tattoo.
Like, all this stuff that I have should be in a movie like this to illustrate why Cage isn't raptured, but none of it is going to be in it. Like, Cage has a visible tattoo, a woman is attacked, Cage
Oh, no,
cries,
I mean, it's
Cage
because he's having an affair with Nikki Whelan. That's why he doesn't get raptured.
Oh, I know. But I wish they had more examples.
He's a famous journalist, right? Is he a musician, the guy that... You know,
I thought he was a musician, yeah.
Is he a musician?
I thought he was a musician.
Does he play a musician on a plane? Because when he does...
He hasn't yet.
I
don't think
he...
I don't know if he will.
Here's a soundtrack to our rapture.
I wonder if... this is going way back, but... Jeez. When that lady came up to them in the airport, there was a total overreaction. But there's plenty of overreactions in this movie. It's not going to win me anything.
Cage stands in something weird. He was on an escalator, which is not normal. It's pretty normal, actually. Just, you know, for a movie, it may not be normal.
If he was standing on top of the outside of the airplane, I'd say, now that's weird.
Ooh.
That's how you get the drop on someone.
Rachel McAdams. I saw there was a post on one of the movie sites I read, maybe it was Birth Movies Death or something, recently about how that's the funniest movie of the year and it's not even close, and it's true. I mean, great.
I love it. I think Blockers is underrated, and that only just really came good. Out, but that's really great.
Blockers is way funnier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, it looks dumb.
It looks terrible by the... Like, that's why trailers stink a lot of the times, because that movie looked terrible. And
yeah.
I saw it, and I was like, oh, good. Like, the worst stuff was in the trailer. Snooping Brother should get raptured.
Oh, he's definitely... Should or should not? Should not for Snooping?
Should not for Snooping, yeah. But he will, I think. I think he gets...
Oh, yeah, no. He's not lived long enough to truly sin.
Is that fair? That he takes all the kids, like, come on, they haven't had a chance to do anything. Like, let them hang out for a little while longer and then take them.
Oh, man. You know what I love? So, obviously, The Leftovers, we talked about probably on a lot of podcasts. The Leftovers is one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
But you know what we can mention now? The Snappening. Infinity Wars. The Rapture. At the end of that, the Thanos rapture.
Spoilers for Infinity War.
Oh, well, come on.
They were actually talking they actually spoiled it on this week's episode of Now and Again, the one that came out on November 1st, that they were talking about it because they're also talking about how Nico talking to his class about how today's generation has a problem with immediacy and that everything is just available to them all the time. And they think that when something's not immediately available to them, it has to be, like, amazing. And Nico knows... Like, there's no real... Like, Marvel... Like, his whole thing... This is all me essentially quoting Nico. Marvel did this whole thing where, like, they had this grand plan and then basically told us all exactly what was going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, it was all going to be like...
Yeah.
And so he's saying that he thinks it's insane that they've not released the Infinity War Part 2 title yet.
It is. It's so dumb.
Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be anticlimactic.
Right.
And... Chris made a joke about how, like, it's just going to be subtitled R.I.P. Captain America and Iron Man.
Yeah, because that's a... No, well, it's true, and, like, it's still kind of... To me, it's amazing how much impact it still kind of had at the end there, even though you knew the whole time, like, it was going to happen, something bad was going to happen, there's, like, no avoiding this, there's 10 movies leading up to, like, a catastrophe.
Yeah.
And then even having read, like, that in the comics, knowing what was... what they could have done and where it could have gone. I was still very surprised that they took it there to the Rapture. But, no, that is true. Like, there's... Especially when you hear, like, they're filming the next Spider-Man movie and you see screenshots of Peter Parker, like, swinging through the streets, you're like, he's back, you know? Like, there's, you know? Like, who are we kidding? We know they're all coming back somehow. So, like...
You didn't buy the rights to Spider-Man and cast this kid... So he could be in two scenes of Civil War
and one movie,
and one Avengers, and one. You know what I mean?
Like, same with Black Panther, right? It's like, come on, we know Coogler is doing part two. Like,
is he?
That's what I heard. He's writing and directing
good,
it.
Good.
It might not be soon or next year or anything, but we know like these characters are filming. So yeah, Nico's right. There's a problem
with
immediacy.
Dumb. But yeah, I mean, at the same, like, that's why I didn't really like Ant-Man and the Wasp, because it felt like we got to the point
it's in the wrong order, yeah.
Where, like, it's everything feels like serious, like it should,
yeah.
And this is like a hey, like, let's just have some goofy fun.
I appreciated it for being a big antidepressant, like, it's a giant Prozac after watching Infinity War, you know?
Yes,
I still would have rather have seen it before Infinity Wars, don't get me wrong, because. It feels out of order. That's what bothers me most about it.
I'm just psyched for Captain Marvel. Like, holy moly.
Captain Marvel's going to be great. I mean, the next Avenger movies is going to be good. I mean, they're all going to be good. But, like, it's hard to say what I'm really anticipating from the MCU going forward after the next Avengers movie. Because it's like, really, they got to come up with a lot of new stuff. I mean, I'd like to see the Black Widow movie. I'd like to see more obscure characters, but I don't think we're going to get Moon Knight. As bad as I want a Moon Knight movie, it's just I can't count on it. I'd love to get a Hulk movie, another solo Hulk film, but these are just things that I don't feel are in the cards. So,
Thor 3 was kind of like a Hulk movie, sort of, and like I feel like Black Widow might be also kind of a Hulk movie.
That would be a good opportunity to fit that character in. But, like, Ragnarok really surprised me as far as tone and everything and direction. It's like, okay, now that gave me hope for future films to say, like, they are going to lean further into genre direction. So maybe we will finally get, maybe Doctor Strange 2 will be a straight up horror movie this time.
I would love it.
Like, that would be great.
Thrashing, I looked up from the last time we talked about it in the last episode. Austin Wolf Southern, 4.5 stars on Letterboxd.
Oh, yep. I can see
right
that.
In his wheelhouse.
It's terrific. Tell you, man, watch it as soon as you can, please. And then we got to figure out a podcast to talk about it on.
I just want to talk. I mean, I don't know. We could just talk about Rad in general.
Well, we could talk about it on this
Bandits
show.
I want to watch for Nicole Kidman.
That's what we should use these for. There's Toad again. Toad's dude. I wonder how they got the rights to have a Nintendo character in here. Like, that is notoriously
tough. You think that they cared about rights? They've got God on their side, man.
Oh, I forgot about the Breakers. And everyone at the mall, and they just get raptured up.
Oh, boy.
Was it past your time when, like, Tiffany used to come to the mall and stuff?
Yeah,
and, like, I remember when, like, pop stars would come to the mall.
I know that exists. I know that it happened.
Woo.
But
I also met, when I was a kid, Patrick Ewing at the mall, Sergeant Slaughter at the mall. Like, everyone would just come to the mall. I think my sister saw, it was one of those two, Tiffany or Debbie Gibson. It was one of those at the mall. And then I actually went to a Debbie Gibson concert at the Meadowlands. And a New Kids on the Block concert. I mean, I was just a kid, so I was, like, brought along to those shows. But that was something. I just got you a brand new baseball glove, and you want this high-tech drone? Damn, Cage. Trying to sneak in a little sugar?
If they kiss, is that compromising? Because that's as close to this movie as it's going to get to compromising. They didn't even kiss there. He just went in for the kiss.
I don't know if they're going to kiss, but yeah, I mean, that's basically the same thing. Oh, U2 tickets. The ones that...
Are you talking U2 to me?
You know what this sounds like?
Is this an episode of I Love Films?
I think it is.
Hi, I'm Scott.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode, welcome to I Love Films. You know what I love? I love films.
I love auteurs.
I love Martin Scorsese.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Like Citizen Kane?
Citizen Kane, oh, it's great. One of my favorite movie, one of the most important movies ever.
You know, it's also important. His new movie just came out.
Oh, that's right. On Netflix.
Truly. Well, see you next time.
See ya.
Good app.
That was, like, pretty close. Yeah, that was
pretty
a good app. Wait, is there a card? Other performing another podcast within your podcast?
Well, you know, we do have the podcast link, but it's, you know.
We went outside our network for that one. This mall looks a lot like the mall we're going to be going to later to watch the movies, but they got rid of the carousel a few years ago, which was a major bummer. And I think this is L.A. being... Oh, there's the rapture! Oh, wow, she hugged her brother. That's cool. Why would the plane shake?
Because the co-pilot got raptured.
Oh, so, like, taking his hands off the controls.
I think so.
So... Oh, Starbucks. Product placement. It's weird how clothes started falling from the sky there for a minute.
I do like... I mean, this is not... We have not mentioned this on the podcast yet, but... You know, I made sort of a vow like you did to...
Oh, the vow.
To only watch good movies.
Yeah.
This month, and we are watching...
A bad movie right now. I mean, objectively bad, yes. But we're doing it for this, so you can't really...
I did make a note that, like, I'm only going to watch good movies except for the
podcast.
Stuff that I have to watch the podcasts.
Yeah.
Which also includes, like, How Did This Get Made and stuff, but...
Oh, and for other podcasts. See, that's where I also fall into traps is when I am dedicated and devoted to other shows, other podcasts that I listen to, and I want to listen to the episode, but it's a movie I haven't seen yet. And if it's a terrible movie, I will force myself to watch it like I did last year, watching like 10 or 11 or 12 Hellraiser movies. And when you get to that, like, that back nine is fucking rough, dude. But, like, you're, you know, like, committed to, like, the show and stuff, so you want to be there for it and everything, so... I get it, man. I hear what you're saying.
I just realized that I was muted, so I don't know how much of my what I've been saying has been muted. We'll find out when I edit this, but, you know, I was saying that I made a vow to only watch good movies, except for the ones I, you know, have to watch for podcasts. I realized, though, last year when the P.S. Love Hoffman show kicked off, right, mm-hmm. when we added that, and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch along with this, and I'm like, I can't watch along with this.
Right. I said the same thing. I was like, here we go. Nope. And I actually tried to watch along for with you guys, with you and Joe, too, for all like the Gosling and the Zeff. And so I was like, I gave it an effort, but I was like, ultimately, the only one that I'm really going to have fun and like want to do is all the Fast and Furious movies right. all the time. And so like I've been keeping up with those. But, you know, you have the good intentions. You mean well.
Go check out Too Fast, Too Forever right here every other Tuesday right here on the Cage Club Podcast Network. Actually, it's the same weeks that the Cage Club Revisited come out. The Too Fast, Too Forever episodes come out.
I want to show you something real quick, too. I'm just going to take off the headset for a minute.
Cool. Well, here I am. This is my other podcast within the podcast, me monologuing while Mike goes and fetches something. Again, both these times, you grab something that was, like, within, like, arm's reach, basically, that you're not really letting me vamp. I don't want to, but, you know, I thought I was going to have more time to establish
Listen,
myself as the host of the
show. What is this,
show.
The new episode of Foodie Films, where it's just Kyle on his own? Which is actually pretty good. It was very funny. I liked that episode.
And my new episode, I mean, the one came out 3 weeks ago.
As the time of this recording. So I wanted to show this to you. I know you're not covering this, but I wanted to let you know I have it. I'd seen it once, and I'm going to watch it again before my lap. But oh. I got a copy of the original The Fast and the Furious movie.
Oh,
the Roger Corman movie.
We will definitely watch this when we do our car lap. Cool. On the Walt Hickey episode, the Fast Five episode that came out 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we're going to do a heist movie lap.
Oh, very cool.
Because he's talking about how he loves heist movies. He's not a car boy, but he's a heist boy.
Have you seen, there's one with Jason Statham. There's a good one. The Bank Job?
The Bank Job?
It's in London. It's like based on a true story. They steal like some letters or something. It was really cool.
All right. Well, what we were saying is we were going to do like the original Ocean's 11, the original
Italian
Job.
Oh, my God. The original. Oh, the original Italian Job's great. Ocean's 11, the original one. I've seen it.
Well, yeah, Walt just sort of described it. Just like got a couple guys like slap some people around, then steal some money from
It's almost like the Rat Pack themselves decided to become thieves and gangsters and stuff, so they use like their clout around town to pull off a heist. And
Which
Sammy
is kind
Davis
of a cool
sings,
meta thing.
E-O-11. It's got its moments.
Here's a question for you. They're all doing Oxygen, right?
Okay.
Think back to Fight Club.
Oh, yeah.
Rusty. Mm-hmm. Not Rusty. Rusty's from Ocean's 11. Tyler Durden, the other Brad Pitt, says, Oxygen gets you high. Cage does drugs. He's getting
high. Does he have his oxygen mask on?
He put it on the cockpit.
Do I have it?
Well, I'm crossing it off.
Yep, okay, I'm doing it.
If
Why,
Cage
do you have bingo?
Eats, I win. No, if Cage eats, I win.
Okay, if they cut to Vegas, I win. So, like, if we see the rapture, and it goes, like, you know, Los Angeles, New York, Las Vegas. Kind of like the end of Halloween 3, where they go, like, across the country, and they're like, yeah, Illinois.
I like that there's only sinners left. Plus this girl.
I just don't know if... First of all, I just want to say, I like the rapture being portrayed in This is the End a lot more, where it's like very like apocalyptic hellscape and things are exploding and volcanoes are coming out of there. Whatever. I like that. There's a lack of that because there's a lack of budget. There's some more of that in the Kirk Cameron version. But I don't know about like the general widespread panic. Like, would everyone... It would subside. I mean, I know it happened in Leftovers and stuff, but I don't feel like it would really be that much. I feel like people would at first go nuts and then very quickly sort of try and figure out what happened and calm down a lot.
Well, the Leftovers did a really smart thing that you see it and they immediately jump 3 years in the future.
Yeah, and they keep kind of cutting back from time to time, right? To that day?
Not really.
Okay, I have not seen all of the first season, but I've seen two and three.
Oh my god. Wait, you saw seasons two and three, but you didn't see the full first season?
I know.
That's weird.
I know.
No, they
missed an episode or two in the middle of season one.
I mean, they reference stuff like that. Like, you know, Nora works with the Department of Sudden Departures, and, like, her job was to investigate whether or not people are real or they're scamming or whatever. But, you know, I guess they sort of reference it, but I don't think they really generally jump back. I'm very much looking forward to covering that on a podcast I'm going to be doing with Kara early next year. Like, I messaged Kara, you know, when we've been doing Cinemakers Heckerling, and I'm like, you know, this really reaffirms to me that I want to do a podcast with you, because, like, it's fun to talk to her about stuff. And so we're going to do a podcast about TV, which we will give more details on in the new year, but it's I'm excited, because we've done TV from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe and I did entire two seasons of Summerland.
We're going to be doing Bosom Buzzities. Bosom Buddies.
But, like, we've never really had a show that focuses on TV, and, you know, I honestly love TV more than movies, I think, and so this will be a fun... I mean, it'll be time-wise a big commitment, but it'll be cool, I think.
I totally forget that there's a coach class in this plane. I'm just focused on first class for some reason.
Well, we don't know any of these jabronis.
That's true. He make a good. He looks good as a pilot. He looks like a pilot. Like, he looks like a Sully or something. Like, I could see him.
Souls. Do you? What I like is that there's almost all these poor people in coach. None of them got raptured.
Sears and Macy's. It's like they're both gonna be gone. Hey, Best Buys. Look at that. Whoa!
Helicopter?
A little biplane.
No. Close.
Oh, that's some
terrible
bad effects.
CGI.
But that's a real plane they
explosion?
Crashed.
Explosion? Do you have explosion? I don't.
I don't think so. It's weird to see, like, this happening in a Macy's parking lot.
This is the kind of movie on Letterboxd that's hard to really rate. Weird. So I gave it 1 star.
Yeah, that sounds
about
right.
Two of my friends gave it a 1/2 star. Matt Stewart's the guy who directed Rewind and directed... Tonight She Comes gave it 1 star, like me.
I'd probably give it 1 star.
Austin Wolf Southern gave it 3.5, which I feel is, like, completely wrong. Like, either, like, give it, like, 1 or under or 4. You know what I mean? Like, but I feel like in that middle range, this is also the worst split I've ever seen in terms of ratings. A 1.2 on Letterboxd, overwhelmingly 0.5 star.
Wow.
Going down. It is.
That's
brutal.
Crazy. That's a crazy chart.
I am all in on Cage and Nikki Whelan.
I know. Like, they're,
like,
so good.
A dozen movies.
They should.
You know, we talk about Keanu and Winona or Keanu and Sandra. Mm-hmm. Like, Cage and Whelan, baby.
Why not? Why not? Making it happen. You know, it's funny. I was waiting for the dramatic tonal shift when the rapture happened, but it was never there because, like, from the jump, this movie is just, like,
crazy.
Heavy and crazy and just, yeah. Like, it didn't make the movie crazier.
No, it actually kind of, like, leveled things off in a weird way. The downside to their on-screen relationship from movie to movie is they don't really interact in Dog-Eat-Dog, I don't think.
Not so much.
And they,
in Inconceivable
they kind
either.
Of do an Inconceivable, but not really, because he's not really in that movie a lot.
Right.
It's mostly her and his wife, so. But, man, just keep giving me Nikki Whelan, because she picks crazy movies.
Have you seen stuff she's in that Cage wasn't in?
That's a really good question. Let me find out.
Yeah, she got raptured. Oh, that's so crazy. She just went into, like, the next class to ask more people to help her.
She was in the movie Tragedy Girls, which I don't remember her in, but I really liked that movie.
Oh, he is a reporter. I thought he was a musician.
Tragedy Girls stars Alexandra Shipp, who I think plays... Oh, wait. She's Storm.
Oh, in X-Men Apocalypse?
Mm-hmm. And it also stars Brianna Hildebrand, who plays Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Oh, weird.
And it's a cool movie, Tragedy Girls. Check that out. What else have I seen? Oh, she's in Knight of Cups, which is a Terrence Malick movie that I have not seen.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Night and Day.
Tragedy Girls.
She was in Hall Pass, which I have not and will never see. She was in Halloween 2, the new Halloween 2, which I have not seen. No,
I saw that.
Aside from...
The movie's rough.
Aside from Tragedy Girls, I've never seen her in a movie that Cage is not in, and I'm kind of cool. Okay with that. Well, no, he's a journalist. He's not a musician. He's a journalist.
I know, yeah. That's what I thought it was. They treated him more like a musician.
Well, he's a rock star. Because, rock star journalist.
But Cage was like, hey, it's this guy. Like, yeah. Sounds familiar. I think I brought up the point on the podcast where maybe Tobin asked, like, does the Bible exist in this world? Like, do these people know what a rapture is?
Well, the Bible, like, she put the garden
right,
on the Bible.
But, like, so why are people like, what is happening? What is this phenomenon? Like, I don't understand this. Because, like, even me, someone who hasn't read through the Bible, is aware of what a rapture is.
I think in the same
Holy
way...
Holy shit, Man of Steel.
Or Terminator.
Oh, yeah, but I just think of how inappropriately placed in Man of Steel the school bus crash is. It's just like, oh, okay, Zack Snyder, you just want to watch a bunch of kids drown for a minute in a Superman movie?
I think my guess, and I don't know if we talked about this on the episode, because, again, it was like 3 years ago. It is probably like in a zombie movie, how zombies don't exist.
So this is funny because I just cut the Resident Evil 3 episode that's finally going to come out in November.
6 months ago.
But there's a reason, and I explain why it
took
so long.
Forever.
And you had the same exact point. You brought the same exact thing. You wanted to know if zombies existed before the breakout.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a passage from the book. Proving
oh,
that
where
it,
the one kid knows about
where
it,
the
right?
kid they did know about zombies before the breakout, yes. But no, right. That is a I think that's an excellent point though, that more movies need to address. Does it take place in our world or is this a reality, you know, of their own? And so
oh, drugs.
Oh, there are drugs in this movie.
Oh,
reminds
me
of Charlie. Oh my gosh.
100%.
You all everybody. By the way, when I saw that was the first episode I saw of Lost, and I was like, I am an instant fan of the show. I'm watching every episode.
Which
of
episode?
The show. The Charlie-centric episode where oh. he's like,
oh, where he and his brother,
yeah,
and the touring,
yeah,
rock star. Yeah.
I caught the end of the Claire episode, and then I saw the Charlie episode. I was like, holy shit,
Claire.
This show is insane.
Peanut butter,
Charlie.
Is he? I thought he was looking at, you know, like an invisible.
What is this? The little person is just the most disgruntled character in a movie. Period.
Yeah.
You think he's mad that he wasn't raptured because he tried to live a righteous life, and that God probably just left him there because of his disability?
Well, we were talking about there's the
because he wasn't made in God's image.
There's the. We don't know that. The trailer.
That's true.
Maybe none of us are, except for, I don't know. But there was a trailer before this movie, because this is obviously a Christian movie. And there was a trailer for like what felt like Miracle Run, which is a movie where Zac Efron plays a special needs child who just loves to run. He plays twins?
Oh, wow.
Does he? Or does he? No, I'm making that up. No, I'm pretty sure he does. And, or maybe he's a twin. I don't know. And
it's not real.
The trailer before this movie was, he loves running. There's only one problem, and that's the phrase. There's only one problem. The problem is that he's blind. Not a problem. It's a disability. And then there's a bad boy, and it's like, you know, he's only got one chance, which, you know, makes sense. And then it's the two of them bonding and, you know, falling in love under God's
watchful
eye.
Yeah.
Not homosexual love.
No,
but just
no, hetero
brotherly love.
Life. Yeah.
Love thy neighbor.
Bromance, yeah, exactly. No. Aquaman, king of the Broshen.
My man.
I fucking love Biker Aquaman. I don't know why.
That movie's still coming out next year, right?
No, it's coming out this year.
This year?
Yeah, it's coming out in like a month. Not
oh,
even. It
shit.
Might even be coming out this month.
Wow.
What you doing? Not paying attention, bro?
No.
It's weird because, like, I don't in particular like the biker image lifestyle thing. Like, I think it's kind of annoying to a degree. But
does
like,
he ride a bike?
No, but, like, he's definitely fashioned after, like, a Harley bro biker dude.
Yeah.
Like, a big, burly, bar brawling,
like
roadhouse
kind of guy. Kinda,
yeah. And I just think it's hilarious. I don't know. It somehow works for that character. Somehow.
I have seen, I know that there's that 5-minute trailer, but I have seen no advertisements for that movie.
Yeah. So there's a funny, I just heard a funny rumor, and it's probably just someone online just guessing and shit, but it's taken forever to make this Flash movie.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it comes out, this Christmas.
There's some people are like, oh, when they finally make the Flash movie, he's going to have to travel back in time and change the continuity of the DC universe, but he's not going to go further back than 1984 so that he doesn't mess with Wonder Woman because she's making, the good movies, So, if he does, he'll just go as far as, the 90s so they don't screw up her continuity.
Wait, did you know Nicole Kidman's in the Aquaman movie?
Yeah, it's Aquaman's mom.
Did you know that Dolph Lundgren is in the movie?
No.
Did you know
what?
Willem Dafoe is in the movie?
Yes, he's like Aquaman's uncle or something.
Digimon Hounsou is in the movie?
Yeah, he's Black Manta, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty stacked. And, Night Owl's in it, too. What's
Patrick
his name?
Wilson.
Patrick Wilson's in there, yeah.
And
that's his brother,
Orin. Do you know Aquaman's real name? I'm sure you do.
Arthur Curry.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You
want to do some DC
this is
trivia?
Origin story. So we've already seen Aquaman, but now we're getting his origin story.
It's going to be in the vein of probably Batman Begins, where it'll go back and forth, kind of like Man of Steel to do. But I think Wonder Woman did it best, where it's just to use a framing device and start her. Maybe they'll do that. Maybe they'll use the end of Justice League and be like, "How did I get here? It's been a wild ride, bro." And then it's I remember when
the
I was just a little
back from a bar.
I was just a little 6-year-old bro. Yeah, dude, that'd be great. He's waiting for his beer to come, and some guy's like, "Who are you?" He's like, "Let me tell you, man, you're not going to believe this shit. You know Superman?"
I do. Do they even interact, Superman and Aquaman?
Barely. When they bring him back to life, he's like, "He doesn't look so good. I don't think we should, mess with him."
And everyone just, ignores Aquaman and attacks Superman.
Who was sitting on the golden lasso, the lasso of truth? Was that Aquaman?
That was Aquaman, yeah.
When he was talking about how, when he was open and honest and vulnerable. There's parts of Justice League that are really good.
It's fine. It's just, there's... Oh, man, it's so weird. It's just weird. It's fine, but it's the tone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
So are they recasting Batman and Superman?
I guess so. They should have just left Superman dead, man. I don't understand what they were doing.
Yeah,
they never should have killed him off to begin with this soon, but I don't know what they've been dying to kill Superman.
Oh, boy. Yeah, in the second movie, right? Because they did Man of Steel, then they did Dawn of Justice where he dies, and then they do Justice League where he comes back.
Yeah. Just feels rushed.
Because that whole... I've talked about it probably on other Cage Club Revisited, because where else do we talk about this kind of thing? But, that was one of the two comic series that I read with my dad as a kid. It was that, and it was Crisis on Infinite Earths, and,
Dude, Crisis on Infinite Earths is just epic.
That's what they should do.
Well, they'll probably do some version of it with the Flash.
Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck, we know you don't want to be... But just come back for,
a minute.
Like 2 weeks of shooting.
We just need to show the multiverse. Right, yeah. They've opened up the multiverse on Flash. They did a Crisis on Infinite Earth crossover where evil versions from Universe X, which is the Nazi universe, came. And it was evil Arrow and Supergirl was a Nazi. And it was fucking scary, to be honest with you. But they basically doing that. And then this year they're crossing, all the crossovers are weird DC homages to famous storylines and stuff.
Hmm.
But I would love to see some version of Crisis done. That's how you could restructure the entire DC universe.
And
you know?
Even bring in the TV shows too,
right?
You could have whoever plays Superman on Supergirl become Superman. You know
right.
what I mean? I don't know if he's a big enough superstar to attract.
But that's another thing they're doing on Flash is they got the guy who played the Flash in the 80s coming back several times, playing the Flash and stuff. So it's cool like that.
What is going
Do you know the Flash's real name?
Barry Allen.
Yeah,
I know. I'm sort of spotty, but I know a fair amount.
It's weird. We're never going to get a proper comic book adaptation. With Civil War, in Age of Ultron and Infinity War or whatever. That came pretty much the closest to the Infinity Gauntlet. But, they always just use it as inspiration and stuff.
That was actually a cool cut.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
But I mean, because I just don't think. I mean, like, even though comics are so inherently visual, right? Like, it's difficult to translate book to film in any form.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's even especially harder in comics when you have, like, issue after issue building up an event, and then you just have a movie that maybe you have one or two movies to build up to an event, and then you get something like the Phoenix Saga boiled down to X-Men The Last Stand, right, where it becomes like a side story instead of the main thing, and now that they're redoing that with the Phoenix Saga, or the Dark Phoenix, coming next year with the X-Men franchise and everything. So, you know, it's spotty at best. Marvel has been the smartest about it by just taking titles and sort of riffing on it, like Thor Ragnarok, and then just, like, establishing it, like, in their own way.
I mean, I think, this is coming from someone who doesn't know shit about Dick, really, but I think if you are the kind of person who has, like, a true love and affection for the source material, and, like, you just want to treat it with respect, you know what I mean? Like, you can do it in any number of ways. I don't know. It's just, it's a mess.
Although, the next couple movies look kind of promising from DC. Shazam.
Shazam looks great.
From what I've seen, you know, Aquaman. It's a much better direction than when I looked at, like, the Dawn of Justice trailer or something, you know? I was like, uh-oh. But, like, when you watch the Wonder Woman, you're like, okay, like, this is not Dawn of Justice. Like, they've figured something else out here.
Patty Jenkins is back for 84, right?
Yeah. I don't understand why that just got pushed again. I mean, everything seemed to be right on track for next year.
You know, who knows?
It would have been crazy in Justice League if they, like, established everybody and never brought back Superman. Like, Green Arrow showed up, Hawkman, Martian Manhunter. Like, you just had the whole crew.
Blue Beetle. Booster Gold.
They've been threatening a Booster Gold movie ever since, like, Dawn of Justice came out. There's actually, like, a Booster Gold Easter egg in that movie.
What's Brandon Routh doing? Why can't he be Superman again?
Who's who?
Brandon Routh.
No, he's playing the Atom on Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Ray Palmer. I mean, there's an Atom in... He should just play the Atom in the movies now. Just bring him over. But it would have been cool, though, to have actually gotten a proper Superman sequel where you had, like, Steel and Vindicator and Superboy and, like, all those dudes showing Cyborg Superman. Like, that would have been excellent.
Oh, because that's the thing I was saying, that, like, the two comics that I read as a kid were Crisis on Infinite Earths and the Death and Return of Superman. And the fact that Superman was gone for, like, an extended period of time.
Yeah.
And there were four other guys who stepped up to fill the void. Like, you could make four movies, or you could make a movie or two movies or whatever, and then we're doing it as a trilogy. You know what I mean? Like, have them come around, and then, like, at the end of two, you sort of see, like, the beginnings of him in the purple thing under the sea with the black suit, and then he comes back, and then you pick up. Like, oh, man, they just... I feel like we talk about this all the time. But I feel like they just wanted to get to their Avengers so bad before having any... Yeah. Like Superman dying should have been the equivalent of, like, Ultron. You know what I mean? Like, it should have been, like, the second big team-up.
Yeah.
Against, and then, like, you could do, like, Brainiac in
the first one. It's just wild, because, like, along, like, Marvel has kept Captain America and Iron Man alive for so long, like, and DC was just like, no, we're killing off our lead guy right away.
Because nobody major in a Marvel movie, like, to their detriment, has died until the snapping, right?
Right.
Really?
That I can tell. Oh, well, maybe, you know, Doctor Strange's teacher, like, that was a little... Tilda Swinton died, so... I'm just trying to think of good...
That's a character that was just introduced in that
movie. Yeah, no, I know. Like, I'm just trying to think of good guys that have perished, because, I mean, like, so many villains...
When War Machine falls out of the sky...
That's a big moment.
...should have died, but he didn't die. He just got paralyzed or whatever.
Right, and now he can walk around because he wears his suit half the time. Or something. Like, he wears half the suit. So, like, I think that's why he's walking.
Oh, this is the most depressing. Like, this is the actual part that, like, you can sort of sympathize with. You know what I mean? Like,
did you imagine?
All newborn new mothers are just, like,
but why would
childless.
But not I mean, some of those mothers probably got raptured, too.
Oh, yeah, but no, not her. She, no, I mean, not she her. She's a sinner.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but Charlize Theron should have played this role, like a walk-on role with Charlize. When she pulled that curtain back, I was like, wait a second. She's definitely a type.
This is a prequel to Tully? Can you imagine how fucked up it would be if you had gave birth to a baby and the rapture happened and your baby didn't get raptured?
Oh my God.
Like, what is wrong with my baby?
Well, so what if, like...
They're all in purgatory. They're
what about pregnant women?
Slurp.
Raptured, right?
Yeah. Well,
by association?
I mean, if you... The creators of this movie, I'm sure, believe that life begins at conception.
That's why I asked, yeah.
So, yeah, that baby would be... But the other thing is that, like...
Or does just the fetus get raptured?
I think in Christianity, or at least in Catholicism...
Okay.
You're not eligible for heaven until you're baptized. So, like, these newborns...
Right.
...got raptured because they haven't sinned, but they're not in heaven.
Right, they're in purgatory.
Forever.
Forever and ever.
As a one-day-old.
That is the worst fate. That's worse than not being raptured. You know, that's worse than being left behind.
Unless you're Bruce Willis as a baby.
Because he could just amuse himself.
For literally
forever.
Ever.
But otherwise, it's like, I think a tulip's purgatory. And it's like, I don't want that on any, I don't wish that on any baby.
Tulip's purgatory?
Oh, in Preacher? Have you seen Preacher
this
season?
Oh, yes. Well, I bailed on it.
Oh, it ends strong. Very strong.
Well,
because I was,
that's surprising because it has not been strong.
I was getting very fed
time.
Up this season, believe me, with his grandma and shit. Like, that bugged me. But it's very much like the comics, where the comic will just, like, be boring as shit for, like, four or five issues.
That's
and then suddenly...
No, stories,
no, but then... And then there's, like... And then the next issue, everything comes together. And you're like, oh, I see why those last three issues needed to happen or whatever in that direction. Because it all came to... So, like, I feel like Preacher did that with its last two episodes.
I probably saw half the season. But then when I flew to Scotland for my friend's wedding...
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
I loaded the rest of the season on my iPad to watch... Mm-hmm. And I started the first episode, I was like, oh, wait, no, I don't give a shit about this.
Oh, too bad. Yeah.
Like, her purgatory where she's, like, in that sort of, like, sitcom-ish thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a show that I really want. Like, I should have stopped watching a long time before I did. Like,
To be honest, I really feel like it could have ended this season. They kind of had a way that if they didn't just dilly-dally so much, they could have just wrapped it up nice and tight. I hope they don't go too much further, because I'm giving it a few more
episodes. It just
episodes.
Felt like they didn't have a plan.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, they're stretching. Or it feels like they had a couple ideas, but they miscalculated how many episodes that would take.
And, like, what's really... What bothers me, and why I sort of am so animated in a way about it, is because, like, what I loved about that show, like, there are fight sequences in that show that mm-hmm. are incredible.
Yeah.
And, like, the characters are all great, and I think all the actors are great. Like, you know, Iron Man's dad as Jesse is great, and Ruth Negga as Tulip is great, and the guy who plays...
Cassidy?
What's the vampire's name? Yeah, Cassidy is... He's great, and, like...
Yeah, they just didn't know what to do this season. I mean, when you compare that to something like Legion, right, where it's
right.
like, Legion is just, like... You
well,
can
Legion,
never guess what's going to...
I can't follow, but I know that they have some kind of plan. But that's all... You know what I mean? Like, it's remarkable...
I mean, that is just my favorite right now, David.
Well, that's another thing. Like, I was watching, we were talking before about how I have sort of bailed on a bunch of TV shows when we were eating lunch. I was watching The Gifted, which was the Fox show, and I watched the entire first season, and I liked it. And then the second season came around, and I was like dragging my feet, I'm like, And then I started watching the first episode, I was like, wait, like, I just like Legion. Like, I don't need to see another... I don't really particularly like the X-Men.
Oh, I hear you. I heard Gifted was better this season, actually. I was like, maybe I'll give it a try, because I'm, like, getting really back into the X-Men because of Nico's X's for podcast, like, the X-Men podcast. It's like, wow, like, I'm kind of digging up a lot of that old stuff again. Like, over here, like, I've got the Dark Phoenix saga... I'm going to reread this because I'm going to cover X3, The Last Stand, you know?
Is that Chris Claremont?
Yeah. And that's the one where they try to, you know, adapt some of that, and it goes horribly wrong, and, well, you know, tune in soon for that. But yeah, so I mean, it's interesting. I'm getting like way more into the X-Men now. Again.
Wasn't there another X-Men series though? Were there three on TV?
Yeah, there was one on Fox, wasn't there? I mean, not Fox, on Channel 11 or something at one point. I know there was a while ago, there was a show called, like, Mutant X, but I don't think that was, like, the 90s.
No, like, recently there were three.
Okay. Well, now that all the mutants are back at Marvel, like, they could all have shows on the streaming service if they needed to.
Well, that's what I'm excited for. Like, there's going to be the Loki series, and there's going to be the Scarlet Witch series, which should be good. Oh, Inhumans, but that got canceled.
Oh, right. That was a Marvel show. That wasn't an X-Men thing.
But that was
based
on X-Men.
No, they're based on the Inhumans.
Oh.
So, well, like, they were their own type of...
Okay.
They weren't really mutants so much as they were Inhuman. I don't know. That was during the phase where Marvel was trying to work around calling things mutants because they didn't have the rights to any of them, so that's why Wanda isn't a mutant. Technically, she was created from
Wanda
from an Infinity Stone. But it's funny, I was just rewatching X2 yesterday, and there's a moment where Mystique's like breaking into a computer, and in the corner there's like all these like little Easter eggs of just names and stuff, and like one file said Maximoff with a little parentheses and a 2 next to it, meaning there's like brother and sister.
Well, like that's the kids from The Gifted, right? Like that's what they're about.
Oh, is it really?
I think so.
Oh, and Polaris is in it, too. She's also Magneto's daughter. I don't know if she knows she's Magneto's daughter, but in the comics, I'm pretty sure she's also a Lensher.
So Polaris is in The Gifted.
Okay.
Polaris is really cool in The Gifted. Oh, yeah, I don't think she knows in the show. Yeah, she's the main character on The Gifted.
That photo again. Who else was in there? Jinx or Blinks or the one who does the portals? She's kind of like Nightcrawler, but she has to make portals instead.
Blink is in it.
Blink, that's it.
Polaris is in it. Thunderbird is in it.
Oh.
Eclipse, Shatter. I thought the Maximals were in it, but I guess they're not. It's definitely a family.
What is going on with her? She's just going like house. Oh, her mom. That's right. Her mom was in the shower?
Oh, they're the Struckers. They're the Von Struckers.
Oh, yeah, Strucker. He's the government scientist guy who turned Logan into the Wolverine.
So based
on. Oh, no, that's Striker.
Based
Von Strucker.
Solely on.
So Von Strucker is the guy in the beginning of Age of Ultron, actually.
That's interesting. So based solely on IMDb ratings for episodes, it feels like Season 2 is actually a little bit worse than Season 1.
Oh, wow.
But what's actually kind of cool is that in the first season, every episode had a capital X in the title.
Oh.
Like Exposed, RX, Exodus, Exit Strategy. So everything's lowercase out of that. Season 2, they all have an M, so I'm guessing next season going to be an E.
Ah.
With an N for X-Men.
I get it. And then maybe they'll finally show up. They've been teasing Xavier showing up on Legion. I mean, they actually had him appear in a dream sequence on a chalkboard. And they've dropped the lines and stuff like that. But David is his son, and there has been talk that they want to get Patrick Stewart on there for an episode or something.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think because I know so little about that, it's the same reason. Ooh, John 316 on the watch.
Very, oh, wow. Very cool.
Because I know so little about X-Men beyond what I've seen in movies, and again, I forget.
Right. You've seen so many movies.
Yeah. But it's the same thing with Star Wars. Like, I don't give a shit really about Star Wars, so like, I'm just able to watch them as movies and be like, oh, I love this movie. But then people who love the source material for whatever reason and get bothered by the fact that Jedi does this or doesn't do that or whatever, just like, well, okay.
So that's why I'm happy, because I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and I love the new stuff. So much so that I've gone back, and I'm now reading these, Joey. I read a Star Wars book, and I've got another Star Wars book here and everything, like the Legends books. They're crazy. That continuity is bizarre. But I love it all now. Like, there's no point in getting disgruntled about shit that you really can't control. Like, if you hate the way Star Wars is going, go to film school, be a writer, go to graduate school, I don't know, become an executive.
Or just start a Kickstarter to reshoot last night.
But it's like, that's...
Remember, that happened.
That's when I stopped complaining, basically, when I went to film school. I was like, all right, I'm here to try and change the course of stuff that I want to see. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I didn't really get that far or whatever. I'm here doing this right now. But the point is, it changed my way of thinking about things to say, like, if you have a problem with something, go and do something about it. Complaining isn't going to change much. You know, unless you're trying to get James Gunn fired, then I guess.
If you were a famous filmmaker, our podcast would be so much more popular. So this is all on you, man.
Well, maybe I'll become more successful now, and I can lift up the network that way.
Through podcasting or through filmmaking?
Maybe Tobin will get a movie made.
Fingers crossed.
He's come close. I mean, he's come pretty close. More than once, so. Oh, they're going through all the personal belongings? Oh, this person had Bible study on Sunday, so.
Cage crying.
Oh, Cage cries. Thanks for a late game board piece.
I don't think I'm going to get a single other one. There's so much this movie left, right? There's still another like 45 minutes or 40 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they
have to... We may have chosen poorly.
I know that they have to land the plane. That's all they have to do, right? Like, they figured out basically what happened, right? Now they just have to land the plane with the help of Cage's daughter.
Pretty much. I mean, at least we get to fast forward to the credits or don't have to watch the credits.
Oh, 100%.
Or any of that kind of stuff.
And then we're off to watch new movies.
What time does that start?
4:10. We're fine. We basically have to leave as this ends, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah, look what my phone did. Oh, whoops.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't realize they're both rated R. I didn't know the first movie we were going to see was R.
Are you allowed to see them?
I'm not allowed to see R. I'm too old to see R-rated movies.
Oh, that's not where I was going with it, but I like where you went with it.
How did you get that gun on the plane?
Well, I mean, they thought that the Muslim guy had a gun, but he just had an electric toothbrush.
No, but she actually did have a gun on the plane. And you know what? It's okay if she shoots through the fuselage because they've proved it on Mythbusters. It will not depressurize the compartment.
Really?
Yeah. You have to shoot, like, you have to shoot a lot. Like, one bullet hole is not enough. You have to make a, like, knock out a window or two.
Huh. How'd they test that?
I guess
they pressurized the plane.
Took a fuselage, brought it into the desert, and, like, pressurized it, and then set up a rig where someone, like, shot a gun off inside of it. Because, you know, they're the fucking Mythbusters, dude. Like, that show should be called, "We Ain't Got Anything Else Better to Do Ever for the Rest of Our Lives, so we're just gonna do this shit." Like, that show was a phenomenon. I watched that religiously when it first came out.
Dario Argento's
Mythbusters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, today's Dolph Lundgren's birthday.
Oh.
Also, Charles Bronson would have been 87 today if he hadn't died in 2003.
Oh,
Dolph Lundgren, 61 years old.
So I've got a couple third types of charm set aside for Larson. One of them is Starship Troopers 3, and the other is Death Wish 3, which he really, really wants because that is like the penultimate canon film right there. And it's also got Alex Winter in it.
Huh.
Bill from Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. It's a party, that's for sure. I don't know if that's the lyrics, that's the lyrics in my head.
Bill and Ted's Most Excellent Adventure.
All right, Mike, we need a boost of energy. We're going to go to Paul's Boutique.
Uh-oh. Walking down the barrel of a gun,
son of a gun, son of a bitch, getting paid, getting rich.
Ultraviolence running through my brain. Through my head, making me see red. Is a gummy bear a fruit snack? Probably.
All right. We're going to be looking down the barrel of a gun.
Uh-oh.
All right. If you didn't hear our last episode, I basically was quizzing Mike on Beastie Boys lyrics, and then we both just started rapping it. Okay. I'm rolling down the hills. I don't know the rhythm of this. Hold on.
I think I know this already.
Give me the first line. I'm rolling down the hill. Do you know it?
Wait, just say...
I'm rolling down the hill, snowballing,
getting bigger.
Explosion in the chamber, the hammer from the trigger.
Oh.
I've seen him get stabbed. I watched... I don't know the rhythm of that. I thought I did, but I guess I don't.
I'm more like, for that record, I could probably do Eggman. All the way through, I could probably do Hey Ladies.
You do the entire B-Boy Booyabaz?
Probably not.
Hello, Brooklyn. New York, New York, it's a hell of a town. You know, the Bronx is up.
And I'm Brooklyn down.
They don't know my name, only know my initials. Building bombs in the attic of elected officials. I quit my job. I cut my hair. You know,
I just got home because I'm out on bail?
No. I quit my job? You know, I cut my boss because I don't care. I don't know what cut my boss means, but...
He literally cut his boss, like, with a knife.
I tried to get... You try to get slick, you bust a little chuckle, you go against... You're going to get smacked with my gold finger knuckles.
Right.
Because being fly as me is something that you never thought
remember
of.
Brass knuckles?
Sticking up old ladies with the handgun or the sword. I'm a Buffalo Soldier.
Broader than Broadway. Keep it on. I don't care what they say.
Got my stereo loud.
To upset my neighbors.
I want to enjoy
the fruits of my labor.
Because I am the holder of the three-pack bonanza. If you open the book, then you will get an answer. I am the keeper of the three-pack bonanza. That's if you get a question, then you will get an answer. Her breast, I saw, I reached,
I felt.
M-O-N-E-Y, the belt. I stay at home
just like a hermit.
I got the something, but I don't got
the permit.
I got the jammy, but I don't got the permit. You got a boyfriend, and his name is
Nick.
Annabelle... Cut with Annabelle the shrimp, caught with a shrimpy little dick.
With the shrimpy limp dick.
Shrimpy limp dick. I ride around town because my ride is fly.
I shot a man in Brooklyn just to watch him die.
Johnny Cash.
Oof.
He thrusts his fist against the post and still insists.
We're going through all of this. I don't know.
He thrusts his fist against the post and still insists he sees a ghost.
Well, you know what's good about, well, not good, but like might be good for us today about the mall movie theater is the 20 minutes of previews and commercials before every movie.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do end up getting there like a minute later, so we're okay. Man, there's so much drama on the airplane. B, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G.
I'm tired of these Monday to Friday snakes. On my mother fudging snakes on my Monday to Friday plane.
Some of the best TV dub is in the special edition of Hot Fuzz. And they do like funky bar stool, Frank. Like peas and rice. The truth, Ray. We're going to run out of fuel soon. And that's when the movie ends. He crash lands the plane right in front of his daughter. Like, they get out of the plane and she's, like, standing right there. It's a miracle. She's got a very... Yeah, she's got a Janie E. kind of thing going. Or maybe a Candy from Twin Peaks kind of look. I follow Candy. I don't remember the actress's real name, but she does a lot of voiceover for, like, Final Fantasy and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she's, like, always posting from, like, those conventions and things. But, you know, breakout star, probably, of Twin Peaks, The Return, Candy in Las Vegas. One of the three pink ladies.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can find her name.
But I think she looks a lot like...
Candy?
No, Janie. What's that?
Naomi Watts?
Naomi Watts, right there. I think she looks a lot like Naomi Watts.
I think, and I don't mean this as an insult because I think they're both beautiful. I think Naomi Watts has a much more like natural beauty, and I feel like hers is a little bit more, not
glamour,
official, but
glamour.
A little bit more
I hear ya.
Chic in a way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I gotcha. What's that movie that we watched with the tsunami? Did you see that movie? I watched part of it, and then I couldn't watch. There was something that happened that I saw, and I couldn't watch the rest of the movie. I was too freaked out by it. But, like, she gets caught in the tsunami.
I'm looking right now at the woman who plays Tammy Preston, the FBI agent on Twin Peaks, and she's only been in David Lynch stuff, basically. Like,
oh, yeah, because Tammy was, like, a musician. That I follow her, too.
Oh, that Krista Bell.
I'm
that's
thinking
okay.
Of Candy.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, that's his...
Not Candy Kirkendall, though.
Ajanu. There's two Candies?
Well, Candy Kirkendall is from Raking Up in Reno. There's Mandy. Here's Candy. Amy Shields.
Yeah, Amy Shields. That's her. Dusty actor.
Yeah, she plays a lot of voices in Final Fantasy XV and stuff.
Is this a pastor that was left behind?
Wait, wasn't he taking money from the church or something?
Oh, okay. I was
found out why he's there, because he was like a fraud of some kind.
I thought God just had to leave one behind to shepherd everybody.
That would be a cool story, to follow like the one pastor who, maybe not a cool story, but he talks to God, and God is like, the rapture's going to happen, I need to leave you, like, and like he has to wrestle with his faith, like, why did God leave me behind? But God is like, no, I need you to save more souls.
Yeah.
And, like, you can come join me when you save a million souls.
When you die of natural
causes.
That's
actually not a bad, like, comic book idea. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, an
I could
ongoing...
see that. That'd be cool if that's, like, what Constantine was. Like, he went around doing stuff like that. Like, saving people's souls instead of battling demons.
Naomi Watts. You said her tsunami movie?
Well, she was in a movie...
Did you talk about the Book of Henry? My favorite
no,
movie.
No, no, no. That movie is a tsunami. It's incredible. You know, I remember the guy, Fievel is her boss in that movie at the...
Fievel? You mean a little orphan Fievel?
Fievel. I always call him Fievel. That's the real name, Fievel. But Fievel. Monahan is in that movie, too, and everything. Like, that movie's insane. Bobby Monahan.
Bibby.
This is the movie where, like, they were at a resort... And the whole
family. You talking about the Owen Wilson movie?
No, I don't. Is that Owen Wilson?
Owen Wilson, Lake Bell did.
No, no. This is Naomi Watts. And this is definitely like a tsunami movie or like a tidal wave hit.
Well, there's that Danish movie, The Wave, which is really good, but that's not. She's actually done a lot of really interesting stuff. I would like to go through her movies at some point.
Here, Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor, The Impossible.
Oh, wait.
Based on a true story caught in a deadly Indian Ocean tsunami.
When's that? What year is that from?
2012.
Oh, shit.
A tourist family in Thailand caught in a destruction and chaos. Yeah, it takes place from December 24th to December 27th. The true story of one of those families. It's fucking nuts,
wait,
dude.
Spider-Man's in that movie?
Tom Holland is the son? Holy shit! Tom
Whoa.
Holland's the son. So I watched the part from, like, when the tsunami hit to, like, 10 minutes after, and I was like, I can't do this right now. Like, this is too fucked up.
It's too stressful?
It was fucked up, dude. It was crazy. And something happens to the Naomi Watts character. I was like, oh, I can't watch this right now. This is so gross. It reminded me of, like, the Nick. There's, like, injuries and things that are just, like, ugh. But that movie's crazy. What I saw of it. I would like to try and watch the rest of it one day. Cage trying to land this thing.
Well, whenever we're, you know, podcast millionaires and we can just only do podcasts, we'll do a Naomi Watts podcast.
Cool. And then when we're millionaires, we could actually get her on an episode, probably.
Look at baby Spider-Man.
Oh my gosh, he's such a little spider.
He's almost unrecognizable.
I was like, wait a minute, he's a child actor? And then it's like, wait, he's still a child.
We know him as a child actor.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom Holland, if you listen to this, can you give us $1 million? Just one. We just want one.
Or, I mean, like, if he's listening to it, chances are maybe someone like Downey's listening to it. So, like, Robert Downey Jr., give us some money.
You need $50 million on...
Let's get, like, a Disney contract happening with our podcast somewhere. Somehow. We've covered a couple movies under their banner. Well, you're not sure if you still have it, bro. Yeah, and she might have been raptured, bro.
So one thing I found out about Christian movies is they just have no sense of pace.
No, man, that's a good call. There's just... This is boring. I'm sure, though, you know... paying more attention to it...
No, I mean, it doesn't really help.
No, I'm not saying it's going to help. I'm just saying, you know, knowing what they're talking about might make
it...
Oh, another movie where a plane crashes.
True.
Might make it more entertaining than just watching it without being able to hear everything.
And also another movie where millions of people die.
That's right. There's I mean, I don't know if it, I guess you could call that a rapture, right? Because all the kids are taken by angel aliens, and then the earth is scorched.
If you're raptured, do you die? Is it considered death?
Yeah, I thought so. That's how I took it.
But you're also a godless
human. How else do you get into heaven? You can't be alive and walking around heaven or hell, right?
Man, you got me.
Here's another thing, though. Like, I understand people getting raptured and going up.
Yep.
Why are the people left behind left alive? Why aren't they sent to hell?
I think this is their hell.
But they still have to go to hell after they die. See, what happens in the Kirk Cameron movie is that the evil people who are left alive form an evil government in the New World Order and take over the world, and it's like a, you know, like a terrorist world, like where like evil rich white people who suck balls are running everything.
Huh.
And that's where those movies end up going. Like this is like, I think I also mentioned this on the podcast, this is like the Cloverfield version of Left Behind, where we're getting sort of like the micro view.
Which is cool. It's just nicer. It's like it's a personal apocalypse.
It's all you need, really.
Like, I almost wish that we saw less of the crazy world around it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what makes...
Yeah, if it was just the plane stuff, right?
Or, you know, or you can even have the daughter. You know what I mean? Like, but I think that's why aside from the fact that Leftovers
what
is like,
doing?
Fantastically written. She's trying to raise her cell phone so she can, I think she can make...
Oh, I thought she was gonna jump. She's looking for service. Well, it's not like the satellites got raptured. They would still work.
NASA probably got raptured, though. But...
Really? They've been trying to defy the creator forever.
what I think, though, why The Leftovers works so well, aside from being really well written, is that it's such an intimate story. Like, it's just about the Garveys. Like, it expands a little bit, but it's about Kevin, it's about Nora, it's about Jill. Like, it's about, like, a handful of people and their personal... Plus, it's also... That's the whole kind of point of it. It's like it's a personal apocalypse. It's not...
Right.
It's not the fact that, like, they knew from the very beginning they were never going to tell you why. It's sort of like the, well, then what happens next? And by being able to focus on a family, you sort of get... It feels more real and genuine, because this just feels like a cartoon. Because
right.
It's like, oh, everybody's gone. In that, you know everybody's gone. You know that 2% of the population is gone, you know, 140,000 people or whatever. But, like, you see how... It affects these people. But, you know.
Oh my god, how the fuck did she get up there?
Very carefully.
And what bridge is that in New York?
Yeah, if only that was Nicolas Cage. Cage stands on something weird.
Yeah, that takes the cake.
Singing. If Cage drinks alcohol, I will.
I wonder what Christian rock star this record belongs to.
Do you think this movie ever had a sold-out screening at a theater?
You know what? I don't think it was sold out, but I bet they packed a theater a couple times with, like, churchgoers and stuff.
Like, we're going to have service, and then immediately following
like in
service,
New York.
We're going to have fellowship, and then we're going to go to the movie.
And then we're going to go see this, yeah.
We're going to see Left Behind, and then we're going to have prayer group.
You know what I like about Thanos that I was thinking about today, just because the whole rapture thing's in my head? He's never mad or angry. If you think about it, like, he never, like, really, like, he doesn't walk into a room mad and angry, right? Like, he's not upset about what's going on, necessarily. Like,
he's just, like, frustrated. I mean, he saw it all coming. He's basically
it was
like,
just,
I told you so.
It was just nice to, I think that's why it played well, is because of his temperament. You know, a lot of bad guys are just yelling at shit, and I'm mad and angry and bad guy. Even bad guys who don't consider themselves bad guys tend to end up just screaming and yelling a lot, and like it was just refreshing. I was like, yeah, I guess that's what makes it better. This is some Tommy Wiseau type green screen, right? I mean, what is this? She actually up there on a bridge?
Well, I thought you were going to say this is some Tommy Wiseau, like, where he's about to kill himself. You know what I mean?
Why, Lisa? Why? Thank you, my daughter's a sinner.
Your name is Buck, right?
Wait, why has anybody... He should not... Like, isn't it weird that he's happy?
He gets to get in touch with her.
Yeah, like, that's weird, right? No, I'm not okay. I was left behind.
But I was just thinking, you know, not many characters are named Buck.
The ones that are, like, the...
Well, there's the great Buck Howard, Tom Hanks. Thanks for the memories.
There's Buck the Buck, Orderly in
and I like
Kill
to
Bill.
Fuck, right?
Yeah. I mean, Buckaroo Banzai, his name is Buck. He's a hero.
Wait, Buckaroo Banzai's a guy?
Yeah, Peter Weller plays Buckaroo Banzai. Oh. That's his actual name. They're from New Jersey.
I thought Buckaroo Banzai was a woman.
No, oh no, it's a guy, yeah.
I think in my brain, because I've seen Barbarella, I'm thinking, I merged Buckaroo Banzai and Barbarella.
I gotta finish Barbarella. I watched it one day, like 3 years ago, I think I turned it off. I was like...
You saw her get naked in the opening credits?
And then
I got my fill.
No, I was seriously trying to watch, because I love Flash Gordon and those types of like movies like that, like campy sci-fi action stuff. But like it got to a point where I was just like, I do not feel good watching this movie. I need to turn this off. It gave me a stomach ache.
Flash.
He'll save everyone of us.
Are you going to see Bohemian Rhapsody?
I don't know. I want to.
I decided I'm not going to.
I don't believe the non-hype. It looks good to me.
One of the guys that when I interned at a newspaper in college, one of the writers who still writes for the newspaper, he just posted a Facebook status today about how not blasphemous the movie is, but how, like, there's just no vision. Like, it could have been good, it wasn't good, and all this different stuff, and so...
Blasphemous what? Toward, like, Freddie Mercury's
image? Well,
just,
like, there's no purpose. It just feels like an empty, glossy shell of a movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's... Which,
it's
also my ideal kind of movie.
There was a lot of, like, behind-the-scenes...
I know, which is the
bullshit
problem.
Bullshit, too. Like, Bryan Singer left, like, literally disappeared from the set one day and never came back. And so... They had to get a new director, like, finish the fucking movie. Like, that's weird, man. Very weird. I mean, it's not like a Solo situation where the director was fired and a new guy was brought in, you know what I'm saying? To further, like, match the vision of the producers and say, like, this was, like, where's the boss? Like, oh, he's not coming back.
I've seen far fewer new releases this year. Number one, partly because... I didn't go to Fantastic Fest, so instead of seeing, you know,
right, like
39 movies
in a week
plus short films, so like maybe 45 or 50 things in a span of a week, I don't have that. So my list for this year is like at...
Yeah, I haven't been to the movies a lot the last couple months.
And I've been going to see a bunch lately, and I know that there's a bunch more that I'm going to watch. Like basically the rest of the year I'm only going to watch podcast stuff and then new releases, but like...
Yeah.
I've reached a point where I'm like, oh no, I don't need to see everything. I can just see good things.
Like last year I went overboard and saw like bullshit in the movies just to see it in the theater. This year I'm way more relaxed about all that. Like there's things I missed that I really wanted to see, like Black Klansman, but like now like I didn't even have time to watch it. Now I still don't really have time to watch it, but it's out on demand, you know what I mean? So like there's things that are already coming around to video to on demand and stuff, but I'm getting much better at realizing I just can't see everything when it comes out.
I think
out.
What actually honestly helped a little bit is that with MoviePass, and this is going to sound like crazy first world problems, with MoviePass I could see a movie a day, and so I was like, oh, I have the ability to see a movie a day, and now with A-List, I can do 3 a week, which I, you know, generally would never go over anyway.
Right.
But now I'm just like, okay, cool, like I'm going to go to the theater on like a Thursday night and see 2 movies, and then just go back the next Thursday, you know what I mean? Like, there's not generally, I mean, with award season coming up, there's going to be more, but like...
Oh, yeah. Award season.
It's coming. It's also not, I don't think, crazy for me to think that if... Because, like, you know, I'm an hour from Garden State Plaza, which we're going to see movies today, and then I'm an hour or so from, like, Palisades, and they both get way more... a much bigger diversity of movies and get movies quicker. Like, I'm assuming my theater is going to get Suspiria at some point, but it hasn't yet. So I was like, oh, like, let's just go see that while I can.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'd be crazy like for me to, like, on the Saturday in December or whatever, if there's like three movies that just aren't by me, to drive up to like Garden State and just see, you know, three movies. Because the biggest thing, and this is again the whiniest complaint, the biggest problem I had with like going to see movies in theaters is that like with MoviePass I could see a movie a day, but I'd also like necessitate driving to and from a theater every day for a single movie. Like with A-List,
yeah,
I can see two or three in a row. Right. The theater's farther away, I can sort of like,
you could,
it's just, it's less
make a day
wasted time in the car or whatever, you know what I mean? So
right, less visits, less back and forth.
Again, that is me whining about free movies essentially. But
no, well, you know, I'll take some time to whine about some free movies too. I love the Vudu streaming service, but their free movies come with so many ads, it's impossible to watch. And they try and gimmick you, like, watch a free movie and get credit for, you know, get dollar credits and stuff. And it's like, nice try. Can't even make it through half of one of your movies.
you should put one on and just, like, walk away.
Yeah. I thought of that. Or, like, put it on while I'm editing in the background and everything.
Yep.
But I actually sat and tried to sit down and watch a movie with ads, and I was like, oh, I thought they just meant like an ad at the start, but like, no, like every like couple minutes, we're cutting to commercial. Again, free movie. Shouldn't really be complaining about it, but hold up your cell phone so we could see.
Okay.
Wave your cell phone. Oh, look at the Compass app. Does your phone come with that?
They'll do.
Yeah, but that Compass app?
No, not that Compass app. This is the Compass app.
Yeah. Oh, we should go to these coordinates and have like a picnic or Left Behind Day. And we should see what those coordinates really are on the map, if they look anything like the ones in the movie.
I'm going to say almost certainly not.
Do you think they just read some random numbers in the script for the coordinates?
Maybe. This reminds me, have you ever played like the Dead Rising games like on the Xbox 360?
Oh yeah.
There's
first
like the
one.
There's like the achievement for like killing 53,000 zombies
or
like
just the running everyone
of,
over.
Population of Willamette, where like you would just take a, like a car and yeah, go down below the city where there's just like the tunnels of zombies and just like basically Tokyo Drift into all of them. And like this just reminds me, like she's just like ramming things to ram things. But like I did that for hours just to like ramp up from like 10,000 kills or whatever to 53,000 just to get a stupid 20-point achievement.
I got to the very end. So when I had Dead Rising Xbox 360, I didn't even have an HD TV to play it on yet or any of that. So
oh,
like,
neither did I, yeah.
Yeah, so I got to the very end, the guy in the tank, and I was just like, I'm done. I didn't even beat the guy in the tank or anything. Like, but I got to the end of the game, and I was like, I made it to the end. I'm good for now. I don't.
Man, that first, so the 360 came out in fall 05 when I was a senior in high school. And so the summer before college, I remember Dead Rising and Saints Row, the first one of each came out, and I was like, oh, these games, like, I just bought them just because I was like, I just want, like, there weren't, like, a ton of games, and I was like, I just want things to play, and I'm like, oh, I love both of these games.
Yeah,
Dead Rising, and then they went on, and great. Saints Row just got crazier and crazier. I don't think I ever played the second one, but I played 3 and 4, like, I fully beat 3 and 4. And then Dead Rising, again, I also didn't think I played 2 or any of, like, the sequels, but, like, I played 3. I think I have 4, and I haven't played 4 yet. But
I played some of part 2. It looks cool, but yeah,
they're all just—they're very similar to one another in ways. You know what I mean? It's just like all weird combinations of weapons to kill zombies and create.
Yeah,
ways
and like just open world sandbox style malls.
I enjoy them though. I mean, but the that first summer 06, when they had Dead Rising and Saints Row come in, I was like, yep. You know, like, I understand that she's clearing road for them, but, like, are these things that the plane couldn't do?
The plane could totally do it, and it would not
matter at all. I understand her moving
the
steamroller out of the way. Like, that makes sense, right?
Here, this is where she holds up her phone? No, I'm just kidding. Good. That. I'm flashing my brights.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, make a fire.
No, I think she just puts lights out. I don't think she... Does she make a fire?
I thought she made a little, like, bonfire thing. Just light the car on fire. I'm flashing my brights. Can you see that?
I do like that he has the foresight, like, you know, all of humanity has been irrevocably changed because of the Rapture, but if this plane crashes, this girl's going to not know what to do with herself, like...
It's also kind of crazy how all this flammable liquid is just there on the side of the construction site.
Sure.
I can't see anything. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to win anything else off of bingo.
Oh, no, I've been looking at my card, but there is nothing else that I'm going to get. Like, this is a wildly difficult movie to get bingo for. Because as crazy as the actual premise is, it's so tame.
Yeah, yeah, it is a lazy movie, man. Like, they are not doing this thing justice.
Cool, weird camera angles. Oh, look, they're...
In a blue screen cockpit.
Wait, you could totally see her flashing her brights from up there. What are you...
I like... Oh, I thought she was driving the flaming truck right there in that shot.
That would be awesome.
Landing gear is still working.
Like, he gave coordinates, right? Like, why isn't that enough? Like,
it should be enough. And then you let the tools do everything else. The instruments.
The mortal instruments?
Oh, is that the...
Some book
Jackson?
Series, not movies.
Yeah, Peter Jackson, right?
Is it?
I thought so.
Oh, boy.
I know. Give Peter Jackson, like, Friday the 13th, and let's see what he can do with that. You heard the Leatherface episode, right?
Like, I did.
Amazing. He was considered to direct Leatherface. Hey, it worked.
It's so slow. Like, I understand that this is, like, you know, perilous, that they might not be able to stop or whatever, but, like, you're on the ground.
Yeah, they made it. And it's just the beginning, because now they're in the Rapture world. It seems like this is going on for a long time. Why aren't the brakes working?
Oh, he lost the landing gear when they clipped the wire. I don't know if that's the brakes. I don't know what actually landing gear means, but they...
It's the wheels that come down.
He has wheels. Oh, there's an oil tanker there, too.
Don't crash into that. Wow, that is some crazy CGI. Oh, my God. Oh, that was such an abrupt... I thought it was going to creep...
Like, dink it?
So much slower, yeah. Who parks the giant tanker truck at the end of the road?
Oh.
Yeah, but now what?
God, I want a Left Behind 2 with Nikki Whelan and Nicolas Cage. And whoever, whatever this actress's name who plays Cassie Steele.
Wait. I thought, wasn't there, like, didn't they, like, hit a water tank? Oh, it was, must have been more fuel.
No, that was a fuel tank for some reason. The thing that they clipped with the wing? Yeah, I guess it was a fuel tank for some reason. Why is there so much fuel in this road? I don't know. I can't believe that I don't have bad CGI or explosions on this goddamn card. Because we've had so many of both.
Wait. Oh, man, that's
here,
right.
Here, junkie, get out of here. Here, Jordan Sparks, get out of here. Here are people from Coach that we don't know. Get out of here.
The Tailies?
Oh, Rose. No, Bernard.
Bernard. When everyone was like, oh, I bet Mr. Echo's her husband, and then it turned out to be Bernard. People were like, whoa!
I can't believe Michelle Rodriguez was in Lost. Like, I just forget that.
Yeah.
Then she gets...
She gets... Very quick, because I heard she was not... So the rumors at the time was that she was not the best person to be...
Working with.
There's a lot of disgruntled people on that set, apparently.
I know that, like, it's just the type of characters that she plays, but it seems like she just, like, carries a lot of angry baggage with her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that in SWAT and Resident Evil and...
Yeah, and Fast and Furious stuff,
Lost and everything. It's just, like... Like, what?
Grumpy pants.
Yeah, I mean, aside from maybe all of Hollywood.
Yeah, and probably, like, tons and tons of men. But, like... But it's... I don't know. Yeah.
We are nearing the end here of Left Behind. Email mailbag at cageclub.me. Let us know if you made it here to the end. We will give you a prize if you do.
Woohoo! It's probably a sticker.
No, we have Nicolas Cage pins. We have Raising Arizona pins.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
We've got things. We can give you stickers. I mean, whatever. We'll figure it
out.
We've
got tings now. Hey. Got a copy of Monkey Business. Got to give away somehow.
We've got giveaways. We've got prizes. We've got something. We've got things to do. Mailbag at cageclub.me. Check out our entire history of Cage Club Prime and also all of our revisiteds at cageclub.me. We are now up to, I think, I don't know what the new number is because of our new shows. Let me check out.
20-something.
23? Hey?
Oh, it's not the end of the world yet. It's the beginning of the end of the world as we know it.
Is it 22? 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 22 shows.
That's kind of a nice closing shot. I like him just standing there, like, in shock.
Surrounded by sinners. All right. Shows at cageclub.me, so go check them out. Mike, if you
but of that day video, and that hour, knoweth no man. Mark 13:32.
Cageclub.me, email us, mailbag at cageclub.me. We will mail you a gift if you made it this far to the end.
Thanks for listening.
Just say hi, and we will see you in 2 weeks for probably The Family Man. Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.